Good afternoon. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. We are gaveling in right now to Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, and we're calling it to order. It is 1:32 p.m. on Thursday, January 24th. And present with me to my right are Senator Costello. We also have Senator Bishop, Senator Birch, and Senator Gray Jackson. So thank you. Myself is Senator Reinbold. I'm the chair of the committee. First, a few housekeeping items. Please disable your electronic devices. If they're left on, even in vibrate, they may interfere with the system. So I'm asking you to please do that right now. First of all, I'd like to introduce my committee aide for Labor and Commerce, Natasha. So Natasha McClanahan, she actually was experienced. She's over here. And she will be the chief aide for this committee. She has experience. She was Senator Mia Costello's chair of Labor and Commerce the chair of committee aide. So she has an amazing experience. So I really am very thankful that she brings depth to the committee. I also want to thank our fabulous recording secretary, Nancy Hemingway. So thank you very much, Nancy, for being here. If you can raise your hand so everybody knows. We also have an LIO operator. The LIO operator today is Taylor. So Taylor, thank you for being here. Really appreciate them. They all have experience in labor and commerce, so we are in extremely good hands this year. I'm very thankful for that. I want to say that it is an honor and a privilege to be here today, and it is a privilege to be serving as chair of this committee. So I'm very, very thankful. This committee focuses on the economy and commerce. It's very, very important. As you know, we're coming out of a recession, so I think this is a very important committee that is going to take on immense responsibility this year. I want to just take a moment to thank Senator Costello. She was chair of this committee and did an excellent job the past 2 years, and it's a privilege and an honor for me to have her as my vice chair. She's brought some wealth of experience, and I really want to say thank you personally for joining this committee and helping me through this process. So as the chair of Labor and Commerce this year, I will be doing a vision statement for this committee. But I just wanted to do a couple things that I'm going to highlight just at a very high level. I will be also working with my committee members. But I wanted to say that I do believe that we're coming out of the recession. I think that Alaska is starting to go in a better direction, coming out of a pretty deep recession. And things are starting to look good when you look at the labor numbers that have been reported on recently. So we will be basically trying to be more friendly business environment. So we really want to focus on more of a collaborative approach with business and the state not being an adversarial relationship. So we're going to ask people that are having challenges with that to please give our office a call. Also, I can tell you in our retail business, there's immense problem with crime. I mean, it is unbelievable how much crime is in some of our local businesses. And so we are also going to have this committee that is going to be, you have opportunity for businesses to come forth and to discuss how crime is impacting their businesses. And just to give you a little taste, is I know that one dealer, a car automobile dealer in Anchorage, had 80 cars stolen from their facility. I could go on and on and on about the stories, but I'm going to multiple businesses, and it's having an unprecedented impact on labor and commerce and issues with safety of employees. So we will be highlighting that in this committee. So what I'm going to do now is go ahead and allow each member, starting with my vice chair, and then we'll move to the right and then to the left. I would like each of my committee members to just introduce themselves and maybe a few words of their experience or why they were interested in this committee. So we'll start it with the vice chair, Senator Costello.
Thank you, Senator Reinbold. It's really an honor to be serving now as vice chair of this committee. As you know, I was honored to chair it for the last 2 years, and I can tell you that there's hardly an issue in our state that isn't affected by the economy. Having a healthy economy is why families come here and they look at our schools and the job opportunities and the training. And so I know this committee will have a vast array of issues before us, and I just want to say thank you for asking me to be your vice chair, and I'm truly looking forward to a really great year.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's truly an honor to be part of this committee. As I think many know, I've been a municipal employee for 34 years. I've also been a small business owner for about 20 years. I had a small catering business. But in terms of the labor portion of the committee, our employees are really, really important to me. These are the people who provide the services to our constituents, and we need to treat them with respect and dignity. That's really, really important to me. And I would like to see our economy grow, and I have some ideas in that respect. So I'm honored to have the opportunity to participate in this committee. I'm looking forward to some wonderful progress. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the opportunity to work with you and all members of the committee. Briefly, Senate District C basically covers one-third of the state of Alaska. Everybody knows me, but I was 44 years operating engineers, administered our apprenticeship program for 18 of those years, worked all over Alaska, heavy and highway construction, pipeline, dams, bridges and roads, and the whole ball of wax. Former Commissioner of Labor for 6 years, served under Governor Sarah Palin, and then was retained by Governor Parnell. Workforce development is my passion in life. An Alaska hire. We spend $1.2 billion in educating our youth in this state. They need the first shot at these jobs in this state. Thank you.
Senator Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Chris Birch, I've actually just moved over from the other body after serving my first 2 years in the legislature and a number of years in local government. I think one of the, and I do represent South Anchorage District M. Kevin Meyer was my predecessor in that region of the state, but we also lived in Fairbanks for a number of years, and our family is was heavily involved in the mining area, mining resources, and I think the jobs, hope, and opportunity are what a lot of us campaigned on, and we serve on, and we're really committed to. With kids and grandkids in this state, I think we all have a mission and an objective. We've heard the governor talk about Alaska being open for business, and I think this committee and each one of us on this committee have a key role to play, and I'm very much looking forward to the hearings and the session ahead. I think we've got a lot of hope and opportunity in front of us, and looking forward to the meeting. Thank you.
Well, outstanding. As you can see, we have an impressive and diverse committee, so this will be a good committee to follow, and I want to thank each and every one of the members for serving on this committee. Today we have some important business to do, and so today we will be considering the governor's appointees in accordance with AS 3905080, and we will be taking public testimony for these appointees. So with us today we have Commissioner Designee to the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, Dr. Tamika Ledbetter, and Commissioner Designee to the Department of Commerce and Community Economic Development, Julie Anderson. And as noted, we will be taking any public testimony, either written in the form of live entertainment or live sorry. It will be a lively and entertaining committee, but if anybody wants to have an opinion, they the mic will be available in a short time, and also online public testimony as well. So with that, it's a privilege to have Commissioner Designee Ledbetter, so please come forth and state your name, your affiliation for us, because we have it being recorded, and any experience and comments you have for the committee members and public.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So greetings to you, Madam Chair, and many thanks to you and the committee members here for this opportunity to share my background and experience and vision for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, if confirmed. I would also like to thank all of my colleagues and co-workers who are here with me, our two deputy commissioners, our directors of our divisions, some of our administrative staff, many of our admin staff, and also our special assistant. I would like to thank my family, who probably will be watching later on from home, And I also want to just start out by saying, even though I'm nervous, I think we're going to get through this okay. So I would like to begin by saying that, in my estimation, the secret to a successful life and meaningful career is to learn how to serve others. So throughout my life, I've demonstrated service to others. I've taken the advantage of many opportunities that have been afforded to me. And I was purposeful in using all of those opportunities to help improve the lives of others. I was born and raised in the Bronx, New York City. I lived 5 blocks away from Yankee Stadium. I went to private school from kindergarten to fifth grade, and then transitioned to parochial school from middle and high school. And then that decision primarily was because my grandmother felt that having a disciplined learning environment and strict focus on studies would help me. And then at age 17, I graduated from high school. I was accepted to Virginia Union University. I relocated to Richmond, Virginia to start my learning career, I guess you could say, and finish school. And my grandmother believed that education would be the vehicle that I could use to get me out of the inner city, and I believe she was right. She's not alive today, but she really was correct in that notion. In 1998, I had 2 major accomplishments. I graduated from college with a 4-year degree. I was the first person in my immediate family to do so. I got married to my husband, and at that time, he was serving on active duty in the United States Marine Corps. And so we spent our first tour. I was a spouse of a Marine, and then when he transitioned out of the Marine Corps, I enlisted in the Air Force because I wanted to serve my country. And so I served on active duty for 4 years, and I participated in Operation Iraqi Freedom. I did deploy to Balad Air Base, Iraq. And I would say that was a wonderful experience. It was tough, but it was a good experience. I learned a lot. My husband and I raised 2 sons. They are now ages 20 and 18, and they both are serving on active duty in the United States Marine Corps. We have 1 daughter. She's 13 years old, and she's currently being homeschooled. And so both my husband and I are diligently working on charting her educational path and offering her the awareness about the various industries that are available to her. Many of you may have seen her the other night. She served as a guest page at the governor's State of the State address, and I'm very proud of her, and I'm hoping that she will decide to make the Air Force a career. But as I assess my 43 years of life, I realize that I have benefited greatly from having many amazing opportunities offered to me for both professional and personal development. I have been blessed by having people in my life who recognized my potential, and they rewarded my hard work despite the state that I come from, despite the city that I lived in, despite the borough, the neighborhood, even the zip code. It didn't matter to them that, you know, where I was from, they saw my potential. And having been born to a teenage mother, having been raised in the inner city, that created in me a desire to want more for myself, to do more, to do all that I can do, to not be a victim of the ills of the inner city or society at large. I can proudly say that nothing in this life was given to me. I earned every position I ever held. I'm no stranger to starting at the bottom. I do my very best at whatever work that I'm doing. It doesn't matter what the job is. It doesn't matter what the title is. As a 14-year-old girl, I cleaned New York City parks for the summer. The next summer, at age 15, I worked at Tom McCann Shoes. That's where I get my love for shoes. When school started the next year, I worked after school and on the weekends at Wendy's Old Fashioned Hamburgers. What I learned from those earlier work experiences is that I enjoyed receiving my own paycheck. But more so, I learned that work brings dignity. And I also learned that good employment opportunities, the younger you are, can change the trajectory of your entire life. At least that's what happened for me. And so, Madam Chair, what I would say is that I've spent the last 12 years as a workforce development professional. I started my state career with the Department of Labor and Workforce Development in 2007 as a career development specialist at a range 13. 6 months into a one-year training plan, I flexed to a 16. 2 years after starting my state service, I competed for a position and I was hired as the manager of the Mat-Su Job Center in Wasilla at a range 19. I served in that capacity for 8 years and I diligently prepared myself for the next level. In January of 2018, I accepted the position of regional manager, which provided oversight of the Anchorage Mat-Su Economic Region, salary range 20. Why am I telling you all of this? It's because I'm hoping to convey that I am not only qualified for the role of Commissioner of Labor and Workforce Development, but I'm well suited to lead the very department that I have dedicated my life to for the last decade. Every single day, I showed up to work ready for work. I was ready for the duty day. I focused on making significant contributions to my organization as a frontline staff person, as a manager, as a regional manager. My goal was to offer ideas for improvements and strategies that would have lasting impact long after my state service had ended. I've been in management for 10 of the 12 years of my state service, working for the same department that I'm sitting before you today being considered for. Anyone who knows me, they know that or have worked under my leadership or they've worked alongside of me as a colleague, they can attest, they can testify of my dedication, of my hard work, of my work ethic. They can testify of me being able to grow and develop workers and to prepare them for advancement within public and private sectors. If afforded the opportunity to lead at this executive level, my vision for the department is a continuum of the previous goals and commitments to increasing training and employment opportunities, promoting worker safety, ensuring that Alaskans are paid a commensurate wage for the work that they're doing. I'm committed to ensuring that every Alaskan resident has the same opportunity to realize their potential no matter what region of the state they live in. I'm grateful to Governor Dunleavy for placing confidence in me to lead this great department, and I fully support his pro-business approach. My goal is to actively promote the governor's message that Alaska is open for business. So from a Department of Labor and Workforce Development standpoint, that means developing industries that generate income and opportunities for the residents of this state. It means eliminating unnecessary processes, protocols, barriers that create difficulty in doing business here in Alaska. Alaska being open for business means that as the department's top leader, I must be responsive to business leaders and their industry-related needs. It means ensuring that we close the gap in our aging workforce by connecting young people early to employment and increasing their awareness about industry options. Being open for business means that when John Q. Public calls a state office, someone will answer the phone and be responsive to their inquiry and concern. It means hiring staff that are highly qualified and have the appropriate skill sets for the specific position that they are being hired for. Being open for business also means that we can do everything we can, we must do everything we can, to increase the public's confidence in a government worker's ability to do their job efficiently and effectively. And lastly, it means not counting down to retirement, but being at work full-time, all day, every day, waiting and willing to help every Alaskan. And so, Madam Chair, I welcome any questions you or the committee members have, and I thank you for allowing me to share the specific ways that I can accomplish our shared goals of building Alaska's workforce and increasing job opportunities across the state. Thank you.
Very impressive. Thank you very much. I think not only do you bring an excellent resume to the table, but you also have a passion that I think is incredibly impressive. Thank you for the way that you defined eliminating barriers and being responsive to business. And with that, first of all, I'm going to go ahead and open up if there are any comments or question from committee members. We'll start with Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you very much. thank you very much for your presentation. And you and I had the opportunity to meet one-on-one, and I was really impressed with you. The fact that I'm from New Jersey and you're from the Bronx certainly helped. And I have a couple of questions, and I think you already alluded to that, but I just want to know, how do you feel about employees?
You know, I have the privilege of serving through the chair. I have the privilege of serving the department that I've worked alongside of a great group of colleagues for a very long time. And so I was a frontline worker. I was a mid-level manager. I was a regional manager. And in my estimation, your prize resource are the employees that work for you. And so if you can show them that you are concerned about them, you've got their best interest in mind, you are going to produce the most dedicated, engaged worker that there is. And I think we as leaders must do a better job of showing that the employee is valuable, that without them we can't do the work that we do. And so I really do invest in those that work with me.
Thank you.
Notice I said with me, not for me.
If I may continue, Madam Chair, another thing that impressed me about you was the fact that you started from the bottom and worked your way up. I did the same thing, and that's very, very impressive. And I'm really pleased that someone who's been in the department, I think you said for 13 years, is now before us with the hope of being the commissioner for the department. And I have one more question. What's your thoughts on organized labor?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't think of organized labor or non-labor. I just look at the worker. And my goal is to help Alaskans have the skill sets that are necessary for those that are wanting to hire them. And so my goal is to connect Alaskans with opportunities. And so I would say I'm more so pro-Alaska. And that means all workers are important to me.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Costello.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Dr. Ledbetter and Commissioner Designee. I'm so impressed by the experience that you bring and your passion. My question to you is related to veterans. And as a veteran yourself, we struggle in Alaska with veteran hire and opportunities for veterans. And I was curious if you had any specific ideas about how we can bring and serve veterans into the workforce. And then I also wanted to mention, as I mentioned to you before, that constituents in my district have been suffering from the earthquake damage, and I unfortunately do have to step out. So I wanted to let you and those on the committee know that I'll just be stepping out for a moment. But I appreciate you answering the question.
Thank you. Through the chair. Veterans are important to the Department of Labor. In fact, the Department of Labor was created because of veterans returning from World War II. And so we have what we call priority of services for our veterans. We do a lot to reach out to our veteran community and thank them for their services. They have served our country, and we must serve them once their service time is up. So we have grant funding. We have specified staff that work primarily with veterans. We have programs that we have allocated funding specifically for veterans. And so we do all that we can to not just wait until they come into a job center, but to go out to the base and align our strategies and services so that they can receive employment when they're done with their military service.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm.
Senator Birch.
Very impressive, Dr. Ledbetter. I wanted to say your family and Alaska in total can be very proud of your accomplishments and your efforts, and I'm thrilled to have you interested and willing to step up to the plate in this position. One of the questions I would have is, what do you, having worked for the department for a long time, if you were to forecast, you know, kind of, you know, 5 years down the road, do you have any like a vision statement or any sort of where do you want to be in 5 years? I mean, obviously, you're on a very positive trajectory here. Do you have any thing you can share with us today as far as the, you know, the prognosis for the next few years ahead?
Through the chair, I have a lot of what I like to call Tamika-isms, but I won't share all of those today. But I do have a vision for the department, and my primary goal at this point is to focus on young people. We have a problem in our state. We have an aging workforce, and we have a lot of individuals who are primed for retirement, and we don't have the workforce that is already built up to take on those jobs. There's a knowledge gap. And if we allow all of these retirees to leave us without transitioning that knowledge to the next generation, we're going to be in big trouble. And so over the next, I would say, 2, 3, 4 years, we're going to focus primarily on ensuring that young people know all of the options that are available to them. College is just one option. It's not the option. It's not the only option. There are other options. And so we want young people to know the vast array of options that they have at their disposal. And we also want to encourage every elder worker, instead of older worker, but elder worker, to invest in a young person. Take time to bring on a high school intern, a college intern, and do your very best to mentor them so that they have access to some of the knowledge that you have, and you can help them to start early to choose a career. What we know about young people, they may not know what they want to be when they grow up, but by fifth grade, they know exactly what they don't want to be. And so even a deselection is a selection process.
Yeah, follow up. Yeah, I thank you for that. I think you're right on the mark. I met earlier today, actually, with the education commissioner designee, and we had this very same discussion about, you know, the King Career Center in Anchorage, Hutchinson Career Center in Fairbanks. And I do see a very appropriate nexus there between education and a trade. For those of us that learned as equipment operator in my teens, you know, learned a trade when we were, you know, at high school age. I think that's a very laudable goal. And I appreciate your being here today and appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Okay, it looks like that's it for the, I'm sorry, Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. How was that commissioner you worked for about in 07, 09? He did.
Through the chair, he was wonderful.
You and I have had over 2 hours of conversations in the last month and a half, and so I'm not going to, I really don't have anything to ask but one question, and this is one thing I forgot to ask you. You've got a lot of power at that department, a tremendous amount of power. I just want to ask you, you're going to get lobbied. There will be Title 36 things come before you, a whole host of other things, and just assure me that you apply the law equally to everybody.
Through the chair, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. It looks like that's it for the questions at this time. We will allow comments in a little bit here. But I wanted to see, I can't see everybody in the room. Are there any legislators here? I know the room's pretty full. I wanted to take a moment to point out a former legislator that I used to work with, Representative Kathy Munoz. So thank you for being here today. It's nice to see you. So with that, what we're going to do at this time, I also want to get a little recognition to Gavel to Gavel. I know a lot of people across the state are able to see what's going on in the legislature because of Gavel to Gavel, so I really like to point out that how much I appreciate that. And also, I know that you can watch AKL TV as well online, and there's an app, AK Ledge app, that people can watch on their phones, which I find to be immensely helpful, especially when I'm not in Juneau. So with that, what we're going to do now is we're going to be opening public testimony. So I'm going to go ahead and gavel, and we're going to open public testimony. And before I ask if there's anybody online, I'm going to start with if there's anybody signed up in the room to give any public testimony. I do not see anybody raised, and I do not see anybody online at this time. So it looks like very, very impressive. So I'm going to go ahead and gavel out your closed public testimony at this time. And now I'm going to open it up for committee members to make any final comments. Any final comments?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and make a few comments. I just wanted to say that it's very, very impressive. I do think there's been a lot of barriers to doing business in Alaska. And for you to highlight that, I thought was really impressive, and that your heart's there, that you want to listen to help break down those barriers, because everybody talks about diversification and mineral development and things like that, but there's just the barriers are too big for people to get over, and so oftentimes it never becomes a reality. So that was very, very impressive. Also want to say that thank you, you're a doctor, so I think that's impressive that you're willing to serve at the state level with such a high degree of education. I know you're going to be in a very tough but very important decision, you know, making really important decisions for our economy and taking care of all workers in Alaska, which I thought was very impressive, and developing our youth. I thought it's just a complete pleasure as well to meet with you individually. And I think you defined being open for business better than anybody I've ever heard. So it was a very impressive statement about what it means. It's not just a bumper sticker. I mean, you actually had a substantial definition of what that meant. And I think that's very important to all those Alaskans, and that work brings dignity. And I think that is probably a great motto for this committee. So really wanted to say thank you, Dr. Tamika Ledbetter, for coming forth and with your great presentation today. And I also wanted to go ahead and work with the committee now. I was hoping, I was trying to wait for my vice chair here, but Senator Bishop has agreed to help with this, but I want to say, if it is the will of the committee, I intend to move the commissioner designee forward to a joint session of the legislature for consideration. This does not reflect an intent of any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of individuals with any upcoming sessions, but I'm going to ask Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In accordance with AS 39.05.080, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointment be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Commissioner Designee, Dr. Tamika Ledbetter, Department of Labor and Workforce Development.
And seeing no objection, we are going to take a brief at ease so we can sign the report. Thank you. Official record right now, so it was a little more than a brief at ease, but anyway, thanks for everybody for coming back to the committee. We are now into the second part of business that we're doing today, and we have another impressive candidate with us today. So we are going to ask Commissioner Designee Anderson to please come forth, and please again state your name, your affiliation, and background of your experience.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Can you hear me here? My name is Julie Anderson. I'm the Commissioner Designee for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. I'd like to thank the committee for their time in visiting with me today and for the hearing. I also want to express my gratitude to Governor Dunleavy for having confidence in me and choosing me for this position. I'd like to begin by sharing some of my background and family history. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, with my roots on one side, tracing back through my father to my Athabascan grandfather and missionary nurse grandmother. On my mother's side, my great-grandfather followed the 1898 gold rush to Eagle, where my mother still lives today. My father, Jules Wright, was born in Yanana. He's one of seven boys. And as a missionary family, they lived throughout interior Alaska. He served in the U.S. Army, worked in construction, owned his own company, mined, and built Manly Hot Springs Resort. He was an entrepreneur in every sense of the word. In the early 60s, he was president of the Fairbanks Native Association and served on the board of directors for Doyon. Interestingly, for this experience today, my father served in the House of Representatives in the late 60s. And I remember being in this building when I was a fourth grader. And it is quite an honor to be here before you today. I'd like to provide a brief summary of my experience. My master's degree is in international management from the Thunderbird School of Global Management in Arizona, with a focus on the Asia-Pacific regions. My bachelor's degree is in business from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I also obtained certification as an economic development professional. At Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, I managed a team of 200 employees and contractors to successfully deliver contractor management, supply chain functions, facilities, aviation, crisis management operations. I was a member of the executive team accountable for safe and effective operations of the pipeline. While accountable for a budget of over $60 million, I delivered services under budget every year. My team and I performed an annual analysis of the areas where services could be delivered with increased efficiencies and implemented with performance tracking mechanisms. As a member of the Doyon Foundation Board of Directors, we successfully increased the value of the foundation portfolio by 275% and implemented a structured process to fund scholarship and language programs. While with the Alaska Energy Authority, I managed stakeholder relationships on the Susitna-Matana Hydro Project. While working with the Alaska Native organizations, other landowners, local communities, federal and state agencies, to ensure full participation in the project's engineering, design, and environmental studies. In the mid-90s, working with the Commissioners of Community and Regional Affairs, Fish and Game, and Commerce, we implemented the Community Development Quota Program. This program provides 10% of the harvestable fishery resource in the Bering Sea to 57 Western Alaskan villages. I also manage the State Rural Development Initiative Fund that it benefits rural Alaskans. And much of my volunteer time has been invested in supporting the state through involvement with the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, the Doyon Foundation Board, Anchorage Public Safety Commission, and Alaska Native Advisory Board, to mention a few. Having worked both with Community and Regional Affairs and with the Alaska Energy Authority, and worked with a variety of economic development efforts, I have a good working knowledge of the departments, its divisions, and programs, but I have so much more to learn. As we face the challenges today, I remember the challenges we faced in the pre-Prudhoe, pre-pipeline, honey bucket days, and it's a different world. While we face tough choices today, we have resources our forefathers could only dream of. We need to utilize these resources to provide opportunities for all Alaskans in all regions of the state. A healthy economy is essential to healthy people and healthy communities. And I'm eager to take up my duties with Governor Dunleavy and work to better Alaska's economy. I strongly support the direction the governor has outlined to improve the state's economy. The diverse experience that I have working within private industry, state government, and Alaska Native organizations will be beneficial in aligning stakeholders to realize the governor's vision. The governor's goals are ambitious, and rightfully so. The key to managing our budget is to grow the economy and remove wasteful spending. I have a proven track record in managing for efficiencies along with delivering successful economic development programs, and I'm excited to bring that experience and perspective to work with these at the department to make a difference. I care deeply about the future of the state, and I look forward to providing economic opportunity for future generations. The governor has assembled an outstanding, diverse cabinet, and I am honored to be part of it. Which brings me to my vision for the department. To create economic opportunity requires bringing fresh ideas and perspectives to both our role in economic development and in administering the statutes that the legislature has given us to implement. One of our top goals is to encourage new investment in the state and grow the economy by repealing unnecessary regulatory burdens, by not increasing taxes, and by creating stability. We intend to strengthen key industries while supporting the free enterprise system, building a diverse economy through business assistance, financing, promotion, and public policy. At the department, we are working aggressively to break out of government silos and to make sure all of our employees and divisions are pulling together for all Alaskans. We are looking at opportunities to modernize, use existing data, and work smarter. An example is an effort underway to link the community database online in the Division of the Community and Regional Affairs with a whole host of other data on business licensing, land ownership, resources, economic development, to help provide region-specific information looking for those that are looking to invest in Alaska. We are also intensely focused on jobs and capital. It takes investment to generate jobs, and jobs are what generate healthy people and healthy communities. We are taking a deep look at what helps or hinders investment that creates jobs across everything we do. We need to focus on Alaska's competitive advantage, reduce barriers, and let industry know that Alaska, as Commissioner Ledbetter said, is open for business. We've met with dozens of local venture capital experts, business owners, and industry leaders to explore ways in which the department can help foster Alaska's growth. We are listening to suggestions and seeking their valuable ideas to implement as quickly as possible. Additionally, our department is committed to doing a better job administering the statutes that the legislature has given us to implement. We've reviewed thousands of pages of regulations and statutes with an eye towards reducing the burden on citizens and businesses of Alaska. We realize that a healthy regulatory environment is necessary for a strong economy. Regulation that is reasonable, balanced, and efficient is my solution. We must strike the proper balance between economic development and public safety and protection. One key to doing so is evaluating risk. We are actively reviewing professional licensing requirements and the best way to fulfill our duty to protect Alaskans while trying to lighten requirements that are barriers to growth. We continue to work to find this kind of balance across all of our programs. We would like to find ways to modernize, digitize, and streamline so we can make licensing in Alaska easier to do than any other place, which is not the current state. I realize that these goals are not without their challenges. Perhaps our greatest challenge is to change the perspective of those both within and outside of Alaska. Yes, Alaska can be a challenging environment, but we are capable of visionary thinking and working together to improve the quality of life throughout Alaska. We are at a point where it is imperative that we focus on our core services at the same time as we grow our economy. I am excited to have the opportunity to help us improve how the government encourages business development and delivers high-quality services more efficiently to Alaska citizens and business. Having been involved in one of the biggest economic development projects in Alaska's history, the 800-mile Trans-Alaska Pipeline, my measure of success for these efforts is simple. That project enabled me to attend college and be the first in my family to get a college degree. It has enabled four generations of my family to pursue their interests, whether it's entrepreneurial, technical, or a college degree. And it has raised the standard of living, I think, throughout Alaska. I would hope that our current efforts to strengthen and diversify the economy will do the same for at least another four generations. It's time to close now, and I'd like to take your questions. While I will do my best, I will note that I am new to this department, unlike the Commissioner Ledbetter, and I've been on the job 7 weeks. So I'm still learning, but I'm here to answer your questions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Commissioner Designee Julie Anderson, thank you very much. You have, a very impressive resume. You bring up broad base experience with working very well with diverse shareholders. I want to just point out on your resume, you were accountable for a budget of over $60 million, and you delivered services under budget every year. That is music to our ears, because I don't like supplemental budgets. I'll be totally honest with you. I don't like those. So I just really want to congratulate you on finding efficiencies within your department. And also wanted to point out a few things.
in regards to regulation, I thought that very impressive. When I was going around to my community, regulations, they said, were the number one issue that was hindering business in my community, and that's why I decided to be chair of the Reg Review Committee and got that legislation through. But I really appreciated your focus in regards to regulations and, again, eliminating some barriers so we can be open for business. But I want to open up for comments or questions from the committee members. Senator Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Great brief, great presentation. You know, as a former pipeline person, I can appreciate you know, the effort and initiative that was undertaken there for Alyeska. When I was there in the early 90s, as I recall, it was around 2,200 employees, and when Admiral Barrett came through here last year, it's around 800. And as far as I know, they've running safely, efficiently, and well. So, I mean, I've always used Alyeska as kind of a case study in how to, you know, structurally manage an organization that way. But you bring a very broad range of a very solid experience and capability to the department. I guess I would be interested in have you looked or had an opportunity to meet with the various department heads and so forth in your 7 weeks of tenure, and you know, what do you see as the you know, the bright opportunities out there, maybe among that wide range of interests?
So through the chair, I have not met. I've met informally, yeah, with the different commissioner designees.
Yeah.
It is my intention to meet with definitely Commissioner Ledbetter. We have, you know, very aligned on our goals. The Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources, we expect to be aligned as well and work together to find ways to remove barriers. My goal is to walk through an example of an entity trying to do business in Alaska, either somebody that's currently doing business or small business or somebody from outside, and walk through that whole process and determine where are the bottlenecks and what are the barriers and what can we do, working together across all departments and all divisions to be able to streamline that effort.
Great. Very impressive. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Anderson, I was really impressed with your resume, and I was equally impressed when we met this morning. And you and I talked a little bit about the Municipality of Anchorage's Angel Fund, where the city was given $8 million to provide low interest grants to entrepreneurs, young people wanting to start new businesses. And so my only question to you is, would you be willing to, at the state level, to look at ways to assist our young entrepreneurs in moving forward with their business ideas? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Through the chair. Senator Gray Jackson, yes, I think that's a key focus for my department, is to find ways to bring new capital into Alaska to help small businesses, and be it through the current loan programs that we have, or I know crowdfunding is an issue of concern right now, and people are trying to find ways to use that. Look at all alternatives to be able to bring capital to throughout not only the small business and the young people, but everyone in Alaska. I think the rural communities suffer as well from access to capital, and my goal is to make that easier.
Thank you.
Great questions, committee members. Thank you. I actually have a question as well, and I know your flight didn't make it in because you were one of the many that have been circling the last week, and so I didn't get near the time that I would have liked to get to know you. But this is an important question that I know you weren't expected to get, but I will tell you, I've gotten numerous complaints in my office from licensures. People cannot get the license in a timely manner. In the medical profession, it has been pretty significant. So I want to just give you a heads up that I am planning on having a hearing on licensures and why there has been bottlenecks in certain areas. I'm not going to put you on the spot right now and ask you, you know, for any solutions or anything right now, but I will let the committee know that we are going to have a hearing on licensures in upcoming days, and I'm going to focus in particular on some of the healthcare issues. The doctors have said that it's an immense, very intense, very long process, and if we want to attract healthcare providers in the upcoming healthcare crisis, we better get our our books in order. I'm also going to mention veterans. I have a numerous, I represent a military base and have, I think, the second highest number of veterans in Alaska in my district, and there's also been multiple issues. I know we have legislation in place, but sometimes the processes aren't there, but I look forward to working with both of you in regards to that. With that, I need to open public testimony, and then I will allow comments, okay? Senator Bishop.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Just briefly, I got a little bit of an editorial, and then there's a little bit of a question there in the end. And for full disclosure, Commissioner Designee Anderson, right, I know your family very well. So that's a good thing, because I know where you come from, and I know the definitely you have entrepreneurial in your DNA. So I'm very excited about having you there at the department. So with that being said, you know, tourism, we have a lot of room to grow, right?
Absolutely.
And I would like to think that you're going to really reach out and maybe try to amp that up more, right? We're growing in our tourism numbers. They're going the right way, but I really think we can do more, because we have so much more to offer right here in Alaska. So the other thing is, you know, I've heard Dr. Ledbetter, Commissioner Designee's opening, and I hear yours and the open for business, and I get that. I had the pleasure of serving with Commissioner Emil Nadi. And what an honor that was. But with that being said, we still have a lot of needs out there in rural Alaska, and we still have honey buckets, and we still have high unemployment. And I just would hope, and I think I've heard the answer, that you and the Commissioner of Labor are going to be having lunch together soon to leverage both of your assets. And that's good, because I was on the job 2 days when I was in the Commissioner of Education's office at the Department of Labor and developing that bond. So that's good. Work across company lines, and I appreciate that. And the last thing I'd like to say, just in wrap up, had quite a tenure at Alyeska. Section 29, TAPS reauthorization. I know you're very familiar with that. For members in the room, that was a 30-year reauthorization. And one of the benchmarks, Alyeska had to be hitting a 20% Alaska Native higher to be considered one of the benchmarks for that reauthorization. They made that. But they made that. A lot of help came from working with the crafts in the workforce. I'd like to see you two, if you can, work together to continue to put our Alaska Natives, women, and minorities to work in the workforce in this state. So with that being said, the last thing is Susitna. You want to grow an economy. You worked on Susitna. You got to have cheap energy, not affordable energy, but cheap energy. So that can grow our economy faster than anything in this state is cheap energy. Thank you.
Okay, and before I open up public testimony, I want to just note that you said that jobs create healthy communities, and I want to just piggyback on what Senator Bishop said, and I think it's just so important that we look at rural Alaska and job opportunities, and what are the barriers there? You know, is it labor issues? Is it workforce issues? Is it training issues? What is it? Because I actually think you can help the Commissioner of Health and Social Services reduce their budget, you know, if you all help bring good jobs to all of our communities, but in particular, we have some areas that are really suffering in our rural communities. And I'm going to open public testimony in just a moment, but I wanted to say that I am planning on licensure hearing, so I will work with you, and please work with Natasha. We're going to get those booked, and if crime or domestic violence or anything is impacting your labor and workforce or any barriers to commerce, I really want to start getting these hearings booked in this sooner rather than later, and also any barriers to business really want to do a shout out to the people listening online, and anything that is being brought to your attention, we really want to make sure that we get those hearings scheduled, and that we're also I will work with the committee members, but I hope to have some hearings as well during the interim. So if there's specific problems in rural communities, either with crime and labor and commerce, or with development of the workforce, we do want to let you all know that we are open to that as well. And with that, I really do, I know I need to open public testimony, so I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony. First of all, is there anybody in the room? Speak now or forever hold your peace. I don't see any of them, including the numerous lobbyists we have in the room. I don't see anybody raising their hand, so y'all got a chance. Is there anybody that has signed in? No, nobody that has signed in. And I don't see anybody online, but I want to confirm for the LAO operators. No, nobody online at this time. Did you want to testify? I'm going to put you on the spot when I can. So I'm going to go ahead and formally close public testimony. So with that, I want to allow final comments from committee members. Is there any final comments? Okay, so with that, if it is the will of the committee, I intend to move the commissioner designee, Anderson, forward to a joint session for the legislature for consideration. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation. But with that, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. In accordance with AS 39.05.080, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointment be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Commissioner Designee, Julie Anderson, Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. This does not reflect an intent by any of the the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions.
Thank you very much, Senator Bishop. And normally I would take a brief at ease, but because we only have a tiny bit of business to do afterwards, I'm going to go ahead and before we sign the committee report, I want to inform the committee members that our next scheduled meeting will take place at the regular scheduled meeting time at 1:30 in the Belts Room, Tuesday, January 29th. And also, we will also have another meeting on Thursday, January 31st. With that, I want to thank the staff. I want to thank the committee, the designees that came forth, the committee members for great questions, and all the staff, the support staff. And with that, I'm going to be gaveling out this meeting at 2:32.